Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. How you doing, Ebone?
It's Friday.
It is Friday. You in a Friday kind of mood, fella?
I am, yeah. For the first one in a while, too.
Lightly screened the calls today. Not too much.
Just barely.
Just enough. Dominic traveling. He'll return on Tuesday. You know, it's not unlike my little buddy to take a 3-4-5-day weekend.
Typical.
In the Big Apple with the missus. Hope they're having a good time. Lovely city this time of year, I hear. But we air the grievances. And you can be a big part of this show today if you dial the phone, 844-967-2789. I must be lacking in confidence, Ebone. I confirmed to myself.
Mm-hmm.
That was the phone number.
Oh, well, in fairness, we've been known to jumble it every now and again.
We meaning Crudy, gets it wrong sometimes, is what you're saying.
Oh, I'd never.
Just want to reassure myself it was Friday and that was the phone number. My buddy Jeff chasing me with a little missive. It's Friday the 13th. I don't like Friday the
13th. Oh, it is too. Oh, man.
I've always been a little trictodictophobic, although I hear that's technically not the term, but I've always heard that was, if you're afraid of the date, Friday the 13th, you're a trictodictophobic.
Wow.
My mother specifically, and I wouldn't have brought this up, Jeff, but you did. My mother, trictodictophobic. She lost both of her parents on Friday the 13th, 13 years apart. And both my maternal grandfather, first the grandmother died, and then the grandfather died 13 years later, both on Friday the 13th. And my mother, who's long since departed, but 13 years after the death of her father, she was scheduled to go in for cancer surgery on Friday the 13th. She said, hell no.
Oh, man. And there's a medical term for it, too. We're gonna let our buddy take a shot at it.
Paraskevitikotriaphobia.
What is it?
Yeah. Let's do that one more time. I think he does okay.
Paraskevitikotriaphobia.
That's, you know, a phobia of Friday the 13th.
I thought it was trictodictophobic, but maybe that's just fear of the number 13.
Oh, yeah.
There's it's an unlucky number for some.
Mm-hmm.
All numbers are lucky for me.
No 13th floor.
I've seen that. You know, some here in Madison, I think we've got the weird thing with the Wisconsin State Capitol, you can't exceed, maybe it's 14 floors? Is that minus the 13th, so you can have a 15th floor, but only if you shave the 13th off?
It's wild. It's just wild. That stuff is deeply embedded in our culture. Be afraid.
You know who I blame? Wanker. The former governor of the state of Wisconsin. Oh, by the way, let me tell you, it's not just Crudy fearing 13s and stuff like that today. We got a big show. At least a fairly big show for a Friday when Dom's not here, and we're going to have to work a little bit harder. But the big show includes the CEO of Civic Media, Sage Weil. And there are lots of things that, you know, our curious audience may want updates on. This has been a company in motion for like a year. So Sage Weil joins at 4:30. Look forward to meeting with him. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, former U.S. attorney, host of Morning Cannolis, Jim Santel's coming by to give us all the legal updates. The paperwork crimes, the former president, and the fight he's having with E. Jean Carroll. That's bubbling to a boiling point right mm-hmm. about now. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Jim Santella in the 5 o'clock hour. But let me tell you, I never did like the former governor of the state of Wisconsin. It was a little personal. We always claim never personal, only politics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Unless you mean the wanker. I always felt a little personal with that guy.
Yeah.
Now, he made a dumb but possibly true statement recently. And PolitiFact Wisconsin picked up on it. And this guy hasn't been PolitiFacted. I mean, with frequency, when he was the governor, he would be false and pants on fire. But he does seemingly, I like to use a term I made up, he likes to split the infinitive. And in this case, he's mostly true, even though he's still the wanker. PolitiFact Wisconsin reporting on the former gubernator. Here's what Scotty Wanker said. Every pro-life governor up for election in November won by a large margin.
Say that one more time.
Every pro-life governor up for election in November won by a large margin.
Wanker.
Man, this guy. For once, you know, we got to hand it to him. I agree.
Now, Tony Evers, I would point out right from the top, before we even get into the body of the PolitiFact, Tony Evers won re-election here as well. He is anything but what Wanker would describe as pro-life. In fact, I would say, truth be known, none of these Republican governors are pro-life. They're pro-birth. But I don't think they rate the veracity of that part of the statement. Let's jump in.
Yeah.
Yes, governors who oppose abortion did well in the midterms, but so did governors who feel the opposite. A politician Wisconsinites will remember well for doing some reflecting as the new year dawned about the results of November 8th, 2022 midterm elections. That's former gubernator Scotty Wanker, Walker, who led the state from 2011 until early 2019 and now serves as the president of Young America's Nazi Foundation. Young Americans Foundation, a conservative youth organization. You know, they're all tied into the Reaganite, the Reagan Ranch, and all that stuff. In a January 5th, 2023 opinion piece in the Washington Times, Wanker mused about governors who have been, who have opposed abortion winning second terms in Iowa, Ohio, Florida, Texas, New Hampshire, and a smattering of other states, many of which have strict laws on the books limiting the procedure. He argued that voters wanted leadership on the issue and that governors who delivered such leaderships have shown you could be pro-life and win. So Wanker's takeaway from the midterms, this red wave that never developed, is be pro-life and win.
Man, that's so on brand for him too. Get out your political almanac, flip through, and find out if it's even possible.
Ebone Wanker, Walker, had made the same point a few days earlier on Twitter, writing January 1st, 2023, every pro-life governor up for election in November won by a large margin. But PolitiFact asks, is he right? Let's check it out. Abortion opponents performed well, but so did abortion rights supporters. You know who did really well in the midterms? Frickin' incumbents.
Yeah.
Of course, he didn't say incumbent governors did really well in the midterms. You know, he's one of the few governors I can remember recently, incumbents, that frickin' lost in the midterms. This is the 2018 midterms, but you were a sitting governor that lost, Scott Walker. You went against the grain, and you were pro-life. But let me read a little more from PolitiFact. A spokesperson for Walker pointed to a tweet thread that the former governor that gives us a starting point. We've cross-checked the vote totals using Politico's gubernatorial election results page, tracking only incumbents which pertain to his claim. So anyways, Wyoming, Mark Gordon won big. Tennessee, Bill Lee won big. Alabama, KIV won big. Ohio, Mike DeWine won fairly big. South Dakota, Kristi Noem, 62%. Idaho, Brad Little, 60%. Florida gubernator Ron DeSantis, he's going to run for president soon, 59.4%. And Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds, about 58%, all pro-life, according to Wanker, and all won, you know, relatively handily in the midterms. Now, how one defines a large margin, of course, can differ from person to person. Let's not forget, Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy won by 50.3%. That ain't exactly a big margin, but he was an incumbent.
Yeah.
He was what Wanker would describe as pro-life, and he won re-election by a glorious margin of almost 0.5%.
What a landslide.
So Walker is generally on point. The governors who have opposed abortion did well in November's election. But he leaves out a bit of critical context. He often did. Candidates who oppose abortion lost too, meaning governors who support abortion rights did well, including in swing states. Let's start here in the Badger state, where Democratic Governor Tony Evers beat his Republican opponent, Tim Michels. You remember that guy, very unpalatable, to secure a second term. And Michels took a hardline stance on abortion, saying repeatedly he agreed with the 1849 Wisconsin law banning the procedure in most cases. In Evers' first term, the governor blocked several pieces of legislation aiming to curtail abortion access, filed a lawsuit to overturn the state's abortion ban, and made reproductive freedoms a centerpiece of his reelection campaign. That's part of why I voted for him. A similar story was true in Kansas, where Democratic Governor Laura Kelly held on over a Republican challenger who backed a failed measure to restrict abortion in the state. That was the first sort of tell that it wasn't going to be a red wave. The Kansas referendum. In bluer states like California, Minnesota, and Colorado, governors who support abortion rights were seeing the same sort of wide margin wins as anti-abortion governors Wanker cited. Abortion politics have long, this is a quote from Larry Sabato.
Mm-hmm.
Abortion politics have long suggested that the side angrier about the current state of reproductive policy puts a higher priority on the abortion issue in determining who to vote for. For decades after the Roe v. Wade decision, it was the anti-abortion side that was angrier, Sabato said. But in election cycles following Roe v. Wade's overturn, the pro-choice side benefited, especially in competitive races.
And they went hard. I mean, it's almost impossible not to benefit with the stance they took. It was extreme, hardly addresses.
So they gave him a mostly true.
Sure.
But of course, he misses all the context, and he's just picking the examples that makes his case, and that's why I call him the Wanker. More Devil's Advocates, your grievances heard here.
But I'd like to make some of the money back that I spent.
The number of the day tickles my spleen. The number of the day is 13.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday the 13th edition. Evan, you know, we barely even noted it. If it weren't for Jeff, now I'm a little spooked. Something bad could happen to me.
Jason's coming around.
Well, ooh. CEO of Civic Media, Sage Weil, is coming around. He'll join me in studio in just a bit here in the Solidarity Realty Studios in my hometown, Madison, Wisconsin. Sage and I have that in common. We're both from here now. And a little bit later in the Happier Happy Hour, we got former U.S. Attorney James Santel, host of a wonderful morning product. You're going to want to tune in each Saturday morning. And if, in case you're busy, you can catch him Sunday morning as well, the replay. But he originates starting with WAUK 9 to 11 a.m. each Saturday morning. Morning Cannoli's going to want to tune in for Jim tomorrow. But I want to come back to the Wanker for just a minute. This stupid statement he makes. Well, any pro-life GOP governor that was an incumbent in the midterms won by a wide margin. Of course, unless they didn't. And he got it mostly true because he cherry-picked this. But, you know, causation and correlation are not really the same thing
exactly.
In this case.
Capital I on incumbent in that sentence. I mean, that's it.
Well, here's another point I would make. I think that the overturning of Roe v. Wade, relatively speaking to the elective cycle, has been disastrous for Republicans. And of course, Wanker makes just the opposite point. We should be more stridently pro-birth, but pro-life, as he would say, but pro-birth. But of course, here in Wisconsin, we've got a spring election coming up. And we have the balance, the soul of the Wisconsin Supreme Court on the ballot. And I think that abortion, you know, whether or not Robin Voss and these very strategic and shrewd, air quotes, Republicans on the legislative side, what, they're going to de-emphasize the issue of women's reproductive rights by passing narrow exceptions for rape and incest? So women can, you know, have abortions in the case of rape or incest legally. But of course, there are no abortion providers left in the state of Wisconsin to perform that procedure for you.
Oh, it's almost too cute, you know, too cute by half. It's exactly what I imagine them doing now.
Well, I can't imagine our female friends and those that love them have forgotten that women have had their reproductive rights, their abortive rights stripped from them. This 50-year plus precedent has been overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court. But of course, here in the great state of Wisconsin, what we thought was a progressive state, we're being governed by an 1849 law. And as mentioned, Tony Evers is seeking to overturn the law. I don't know if that's going to be effective with the current makeup of the court.
Yeah.
But of course, we could see a dramatic change in the makeup of the court.
Fingers
if it
crossed.
Shifts from 4-3 conservative to 4-3 quote-unquote liberal, all bets are off on abortion, on gerrymandering, on a lot of different issues. So first and foremost, you better vote on April 4th. I would recommend voting for whichever liberal comes through the primary, Everett Mitchell or Janet Protasiewicz. They're both currently judges. Either one's going to be better than Jennifer Doral, the celebrity, I almost said celebrity chef, celebrity judge from Waukesha County, and Dan Kelly, the former wanker appointee to the court that got crushed by Karofsky by 163,000 votes.
Oh,
but
wow.
Let me give you a little update. Our friends, UrbanMilwaukee.com, they're re-reporting what Wisconsin Public Radio first put out there. Jenny Peek with this piece. Former Wisconsin abortion provider opens clinic in Rockford. Well, women's reproductive care is much like legalized recreational marijuana at this point.
Sure.
It's a 45-minute to the border sort of car ride.
The grass is literally greener.
A former Wisconsin abortion provider has opened a new clinic across state lines in hope of filling a gap for patients who are no longer able to receive the procedure in the state of Wisconsin. Dr. Dennis Christensen opened the Rockford Family Planning Center last week and has since treated a handful of people from both Illinois and Wisconsin. Prior to opening the center, Christensen ran a now-shuttered abortion clinic in Milwaukee and spent his career as an OBGYN in both Madison and Milwaukee. Rockford Family Planning Center administrator Meg Larkin said the clinic offers medication abortions up to 11 weeks gestation. She said the Rockford Clinic, about 70 miles from Madison, gives people in south central Wisconsin a closer option. It's also a little closer for them to come here than it is to go in through to the Chicago area, she said, adding in a way to make sure women get what they need. Here's another quote from Larkin. When a woman finds out that she's pregnant, and maybe it's about a health issue, maybe it's about an abusive relationship they're in, they should have the right to say, okay, this is not the time for me. I need to do something. And we're there to help them get what they need, Larkin said. Larkin had previously worked with Christensen at his abortion clinic in Rockford before it closed about a decade ago. Larkin came out of retirement to join him at the new center. He called me in June and said, it doesn't look good for Roe v. Wade, Larkin recalled. And so he said, would you like to come out of retirement and open a clinic with me in Rockford? And I said, sign me up. For her, ensuring people have access to care they need made returning to work an easy decision. I wasn't ready to quit before, and I have a second chance to do the work that I love more than anything I've done in the 71 years of my life, Larkin said. And when the U.S. Supreme Court struck down Roe v. Wade, it left the legality of abortion up to individual states. As I've mentioned, in Wisconsin, that put in effect a pre-Civil War abortion ban, making the procedure illegal in almost all cases. And abortion remains legal in Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota, while some states have attempted to make crossing state lines for an abortion illegal. Lawyer Diane Walsh told Wisconsin Watch that Wisconsin has no such law, and Not currently doesn't mean Republicans wouldn't seek one. And before the Rockford Clinic opened, the closest options for patients seeking abortions was the southern part of Wisconsin was Waukegan, Illinois, and Chicago. And for other people in the state, Planned Parenthood clinics in Rochester, Minnesota, and Minneapolis are the closest options across state lines. Come back, Devil's Advocates Radio Show. The CEO of Civic Media, our friend Sage Weil. More Devil's Advocates, TGIF.
Skywalker has failed Wisconsin.
You know, they can go suck lemons.
See, I'm more important than you. I have got some big stuff going on. Big stuff.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal. Only politics.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. No Dom, but I've been joined by a fine, I guess we'll call him a co-devil for a bit. Hate to moniker you as such. He is the CEO of Civic Media. He is Sage Weil. Sage, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Creedy. How's it going?
Good, man. Make sure you're talking loud and clear for the people at home. Sage, it is a new year, and Civic Media has rapidly grown over the course of 2022. Reminisce for me just a minute. Civic Media, first and foremost, is what? What's Civic Media if the people are just joining us?
Civic Media is a growing Wisconsin statewide network of radio stations. We are focused on hometown radio and investing in our communities here in Wisconsin. And 1 year ago, we were, what, I guess just two stations? 1 year ago, we were just launching WAUK.
W-A-U-K the radio, Shaw. Yeah,
in Waukesha. I guess 7 months ago, we had our third station, WXCO in Wausau, and we are at, oh my God, I can't even keep track anymore. It's hard. For somewhere, we're about a dozen stations, I think, somewhere in there. Yeah.
I'm Baker's dozen-ish. Sage, when you say stations, so you've created this network of news talk stations, and there are some other stations. One of our favorites, WRCO in Richland Center. They got the Packers. They got this great full-service country format. But the primary mission, just so the audience is clear, the primary mission of Civic Media is really the news talk format, is it not?
Yes. Well, I would say our primary mission is to inform and engage our listeners. And the most direct way to do that is with news talk programming, where we're speaking directly to the issues that we care about. But not everyone listens to news talk radio, so I think the music stations play an important role. We can give people, you know, great music that they like, and then we can give them some quality news at the top of the hour. A few vegetables mixed in with their whatever.
Put a little cheese on that broccoli, fella.
Exactly.
Sage, the newest addition in the country music portfolio of Civic Media, St. Croix Country.
Yes, yes. WSCM, broadcasting out of Baldwin, covering the entire St. Croix Valley. We're very excited to get that station launched. Take a look at the website, stcroix.country. It's got beautiful logo. I think it's one of my favorites, actually, across our whole network.
It is a beautiful logo. It incorporates like a guitar and sort of a
tree line and
a neat bird. Logo. We've had wonderful logos and branding from our pals over at Design Garden. It's playing what? Classic Legends Country, something like
country
that?
Country Legends, 24/7. Yes. Yep. So this is I'm not a country music person, so I'm gonna butcher any attempt to like describe the genre. But I would call it classic country hits that not the Nashville stuff, but you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, a few thousands, noughties, whatever you want to call it.
I find when I listen to this format, this Country Legends format, I know all the words, and I'm not a country guy either.
There you go.
But if you give us a chance, if you tune into the Civic Media app, and if you don't have one yet, go get one. It is what all the Patriots are doing, but it's on the St. Croix Country Music Station. Well, that's on the Civic Media app as well, right?
That's right. Yep. You can stream it on the app. You can get it through TuneIn. You can get it from the website. And if you're in St. Croix County, you can listen on the air at 95.7.
And we've actually got a very cute little facility there in Emory, Wisconsin. Emory is just north of Baldwin, Wisconsin. Baldwin is a cute little town, about 4,000, just off I-94, sort of Menominee area as you're going out market of Minneapolis. And if you go on Highway 63 North, and for all the people listening that aren't familiar with Highway 63, it is the vital road through the Northwoods of Wisconsin, all the way up to Hayward and probably north of there. I've only gone as far as Hayward. But Emory is a little north of Baldwin, two towns. I think it's Deer Park and then it's Emory. Mm-hmm. And we got this nice little shop and we're running our little radio stations now out of Emory, Wisconsin. We've got our first hire joining us up there and we've got some friends we've started making. But part of the goal, Sage, is what? Finding some locals, finding some local voices, and actually not just playing a radio station into the community, but becoming part of the community, right?
Exactly, exactly. Today, if you listen to the station, you're going to hear music like pretty much 24 hours, almost no commercials. So now's the time to tune in, certainly. But our goal for that station over time, with all our stations, is to make it a local hometown station that is connected with the community. So that means we're going to be adding local news, some local sports. Once, certainly in the fall, we'll be doing high school sports there. And eventually have a morning show or whatever else we can do to make that a way to find out, to connect with your community and find out what's going on and what you should be paying attention to.
Well, Sage, while I love the Minneapolis outmarket area and I'm fortunate enough to play out in KTNF AM 950 country, and I would point out Emory is also our Badger outlet in that part of the world. Don't forget Badgers tip off about noon tomorrow on WXEE 1260 AM. Tune in. But Sage, probably more exciting to me, and this whole broader political mission of reaching all corners of the state of Wisconsin, the Fox Valley, Green Bay, man. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what's new? I've been teasing this for weeks, Sage. I mean, I said, wait, we're coming to Green Bay. We're coming to Green Bay. When are we coming to Green Bay, Sage Weil?
Today. Today we are coming to Green Bay. Today we are.
Somebody tell Harvey K.
Yeah.
Say that again. We're yes. on the air in Green
we're
Bay.
On the air in Green Bay. Yes. WGBW. And I'm forgetting the frequency.
I can tell you the frequency. I will never forget our beloved new Green Bay frequency, 1590 AM. And you can hear that son of a gun all the way up to like Marinette, all mm-hmm. the way up to Thumb of Door yep. County on the AM side, 1590 AM. And more importantly, 97.9 FM. There we go.
That's right.
And our, you know, inferior whitey-righty competitors are just down the dial, second adjacent, like 97.5 somewhere. But we're the better positioned 97.9, and we're very proud of that signal. And we've got a wonderful facility on Washington Street. Can't wait to go do my first show from Green Bay. I think it's going to be next Friday, Sage. I think I'm going to sneak up to Washington Street. That's right on the Fox River.
Yep.
Fox River is sort of integral to a lot of our facilities in the Fox Valley.
That's right. Our Oshkosh studio is also right on the Fox River. But that Green Bay facility, I'm super excited. I'm a little jealous that you're going to be up there next week. I can't wait to get up there.
Join me, man.
Yeah.
Just a 2.5 hour car ride.
I've just been looking through all the pictures. It looks great. I can't wait to... get up there, get on the air. I think that location is particularly exciting. We're right on the river. What's it called?
The city deck.
The city deck. Yes. There's a like, sort of that pedestrian walkway there. And we're just, you know, a block off right there on the corner of Washington. There's going to be, I think, live music during the summer. It's going to be sort of, I don't know all the full story here, but my understanding is that's been a nicely developed, redeveloped area of downtown, and the community's really invested in that space, and we're very excited to be a part of it.
Well, the city deck is on the Fox River, and we are effectively, our building is adjacent to the Ray Nitschke Bridge, which is one of the...
Right.
Whenever you watch Monday Night Football and they're doing not the blimp anymore, the little drones, they use the drone video, but you will see the building that WGBW, our new business office, our radio location, soon to be our studio location in Green Bay, will soon be a prominent part of the Green Bay skyline. We hope
that is part of the plan. Yes, yes, we're very excited to be there.
Depends on how big Sage Weil wants to go on signage.
Yeah.
Folks, you are listening.
How big will they let us go?
To the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. No Dom today. I got Sage Weil. He is the CEO of Civic Media. This is a rapidly growing media company. That's by other people's assessment, Sage. I never think it grows quite quickly enough, but you have done an incredible job this year of not just putting your financial resources behind the growth of, let's call it, truth talk radio. Some will label us liberal talk radio, but it's the truth. You know, we are leading with the truth out here, or at least that's my endeavor each and every day. And Sage, it's really still growing, isn't it? I feel like it's the blob, yes. Right now. Do you remember the Blob movies?
I never actually watched them.
Grow larger. But that's like me after the holidays.
There you go. I think, yes, it has been a whirlwind 6 months for us, 7 months, whatever it's been. I think it was June. We were still just adding that third station, and here we are at 12 or 13 or wherever we are. I mean, it's funny. It turns out that, I mean, 6 months ago, the real challenge was figuring out, like, what stations can we find? How do we go about buying them? Like, who's going to sell to us? Like, those were the questions at the top of the mind. And now the question is, like, oh, great, now we've got, like, 12 stations. How do we actually run them? How do we staff them? How do we keep them on the air? So we certainly have our hands full over here. It's an exciting time for the company.
And you've certainly grown the amount of human capital in the Civic Media family. I think when we started 2022, we had approximately 5 full-time employees and numerous host and part-time employees, but about 5 full-time people to run the stations. And you're somewhere around 50 now, aren't you, Sage?
Between 40 and 50, somewhere in there. It depends on how you count the part-time folks. Yeah,
that's quite growth. That's a lot of growth.
It is an exciting time to be in radio in Wisconsin. I'll
put it is. And Sage, setting aside some of the commercial applications, maybe we'll talk about that in a minute, but let's talk about what comes next here politically in the state of Wisconsin. We lived through the midterms, and I feel like the state of Wisconsin potentially dodged a bullet. And when you look at the outcome, Tony Evers won by 89,000 votes. That's a landslide relative to recent Wisconsin margins.
For Wisconsin, yeah.
But of course, we look and say, but our pal Mandela Barnes was not as fortunate. He lost by just under 27,000 votes to incumbent Ron Johnson. So while the Death Star, this Civic Media network, is being built, it's not, you can't take out Alderaan quite yet. It's not fully operational in all ways, but it's been up on the air for 6 months or longer in a number of these markets. And I would say people are starting to find this talk format, the host of Civic Media's network, the team. Sage, do you think this station group, this network, this Civic Media, how impactful do you think it'll be here in the Supreme Court race?
I would like to think that we will be very impactful, but, you know, time will tell. I think we've had most of our stations have been on the air and broadcasting our new talk format for several months now. And so our listeners have had a chance to listen. They've had a chance to hear what we're talking about and get a sense of how we approach issues. You know, we're not telling you what to think. We're telling you, you know, we're trying to describe all sides of the issue and give you a bit of the nuance and understand hopefully where people are coming from. And then not be shy about offering our opinion, particularly in situations, as often seems to be the case here in Wisconsin, where one of those opinions feels very disingenuous based on the values that we feel that we should be judging these things by, namely transparency and support for democracy and a support for, you know, inclusiveness and understanding and so on. So I'm very excited about these next couple of months and seeing how what kind of impact we can have.
You know, it's really interesting. I'd like to think, you know, the days of election denialism, we've overcome that, I'd like to think. I'd like to think, you know, the dominance of right-wing talk radio and the misinformation that they willingly spew. I'd like to think we've overcome all that. But I would point out an interesting point. There are two election deniers running in the 8th Senate District to replace Alberta Darling. If either of those candidates, Knodel or Janelle Branchen, were to win, I'd see that as a real failure, not of civic media, but of democracy. So we'll keep poking. We'll keep poking the bees, poking the bear. Come back. More of the Devil's Advocates. I've got the civic media CEO, my partner Sage Wild, live in the Madison studios.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Don't act like you're not impressed.
One, two, make you wanna.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. I got a fine guest here in the Solidarity Realty Studios, right here in Madison, Wisconsin. He is Sage Weil, the CEO of Civic Media. We've had him on before. We brought him back because Civic Media is still in growth mode and there's lots of exciting news, and we wanted to share some with the audience. First and foremost, today, the first day that Civic Media plays on WGBW, GB, that's for Green Bay, it's right in the name, 97.9 FM, tell your friends, 1590 AM. We're also playing some country music up in the St. Croix Valley, St. Croix Country, 95.7 FM. And, you know, we got our friends up there in Amory, 1260 AM, Lake Eyre. So, Sage Wild, I understand there's $1 million advertising giveaway going away, happening through Civic Media. I better start using my brain a little bit here. $1 million, man, that's a lot. That is a quite generous offer that you and the senior VP are making, Sage.
It is a lot. It's a big number. And when Roxanne first proposed it, I was like, what are you talking about here? But I have to say, when we were first putting the website together, I think it was Rebecca put an extra 3 zeros on there. Wasn't paying attention.
Like a $1 billion giveaway?
Some minor comedy ensued in the chat after that. But $1 million, that's right. $1 million in advertising on our radio network to be given away to Wisconsin businesses.
And really, this is not limited to small businesses, but I would say Civic Media have shown sort of a mission to support Main Street. Small business, I think, is probably more where this is geared. Do you think, Sage?
Absolutely. I mean, that's where I would like to see most of the money go. But it really depends on who applies. Our requirements are simply that you be licensed to do business here in Wisconsin and have an actual physical location. The key for us is to be building relationships with businesses in the communities that we serve, and we want to support them and support Main Street businesses in general.
Now, Sage, a year ago, WAUK gave away $50,000 in advertising grants. I thought that was a hell of a lot of money. $1 million is 20 times that much money. I don't like to do much math on the radio, but if my math serves, that's 20 times as much. But you've got a lot more stations now. Civic Media is a much more substantial thing. But the least amount of any advertising grant, my understanding, is $5,000. That's
right.
A lot of radio advertising. You can do a lot of good for a small business with $5,000.
That's right. And I think that the key here to recognize is that, I mean, this is a grant. So if you're a small business, you don't have to buy anything. You don't have to pay us anything. If you receive one of these grants, then we will work with you to produce a 30-second commercial spot, and we will figure out what stations it makes sense to play on and where and when and all of that, and walk you through this whole process. And our goal is that, first and foremost, we'll demonstrate to those businesses the value that they can derive from advertising on radio. And hopefully that'll be the beginning of a long and fruitful relationship that's a win-win for everyone. But even if those advertisers don't come back, we feel that this is an important way to show the people in Wisconsin and the communities that we're serving that we're serious about investing in these stations and these communities.
Sage, I tease you occasionally. I say, You should brag more. You don't brag. Let me do a little bragging for this little network. WRCE, Richland Center, News from the Center. A couple of months ago, it was a differently formatted music station. And WRCO is this wonderful country music full service station. Mm-hmm. But we brought this brand new news talk format to Richland Center, Richland County, and it started out slow. People started streaming us, you know, if you're at your desk or whatever, many people stream. And we saw like 1,500 streamers the first month. Not a bad start. But within a couple of months, we saw, as Todd Alba's show rolled out on the mornings, and we saw news, what are we calling it? Sunrise from the Center. I mean, these guys are up at 5 o'clock doing live radio on the local channel. By 6 o'clock, they got Sunrise from the Center. At 8 o'clock, Todd Alba's on. And we have seen, 500-600% growth, 10,000 people a month in little old Richland Center, not just listening on the radio, but streaming, proving it. They're being patriots. They're using the Civic Media app. It is really rapid growth relative to radio audience. People were obviously clamoring. They wanted this sort of content. Someone just finally provided it.
Yes. Yep. And I think that is it's a pattern we expect and hope to see elsewhere in the state too, where we are buying stations that often have very little audience or sometimes no audience. And in fact, the station that we bought in Amory, WXCE 1260 AM, had been turned off for a year. And we're turning it back on. We're getting it back on the air, and we're bringing programming that we think is relative to the people there, not just by bringing them state issues, but local issues as well. And so we initially are primarily programming with content that that's airing across the state. But as we staff up, we will be bringing more local news and local morning hosts and so on. And we expect that when that happens, we'll see an uptick in engagement as well.
Well, in Amory, we're finally giving them Wisconsin news instead of Minneapolis news. Sage Weil, CEO of Civic Media. Before we wrap up, Sage, we're in a political cycle. And we just went through the midterms and we saw so many negative ads, so many third party dark money ads come through, and it kind of caught us flat footed. We weren't prepared for people wanting to buy Republican outfits, wanting to buy ads on our little liberal talk radio airwaves. So what is the plan as we go into the primary here? What is the plan for Civic Media in regards to political ads?
Right. So for the primary, we will be, well, throughout the full election, we will be accepting ads from the candidates themselves. So if you're running for an office and you want to advertise, then we will take those ads. And there are all sorts of rules around that. If you accept advertising from one candidate, you have to take ads from all of the candidates in that same race.
All qualifying candidates.
All qualified candidates.
What about third-party dark money groups?
Right. That's where it gets interesting. And there, we're making a small distinction. In general, we will not be taking third-party dark money advertising. The exception is if it is an advertising that is not advocating for a particular candidate or doing electioneering, but it is instead a more general get out the vote type of message.
So those go vote is okay, but right. Go vote for X is not going to be okay.
Yes. And because in reality, most of those ads aren't go vote for X, they're Y is a lying, cheating, terrible person or whatever it is, right? And nobody wants to hear any more of that. We've had enough of it. And it's rarely presented in good faith. So, I don't think anyone will mind.
Sage Weil, CEO of Civic Media. Thanks for coming on the Devil's Advocates, updating the audience. Sage, we look forward to more rapid growth in 2023 and turning on this Death Star and seeing if we can have some impact, especially in the spring election. Sage, thank you so much for your investment commitment to what we do around here.
Well, thank you so much for laying the groundwork and showing me which way is up in this radio world.
Well, I can't tell you which way is up, but I can tell you which way is next. James Santel joining me, the Happier Happy Hour. That's what's next. Thank you, Sage Weil.
Good luck. We're all counting on you.